Hello, hello, and welcome to my lovely, inspiring human potential community. To everyone tuning in, before we get started on today's topic, that is in pursuit of those keys to inner growth and following your heart to the life of an entrepreneur and to much more that I talk about, guide about, from the podcast to the blog to other online presences, which are known to those who continuously tune in. Special announcement, Anchor has allowed finally that listener support button, which means the world for everything that I pursue and wanting to share. And for those who are looking to support the inspiring human potential mission, its purpose, and anyone who believes in general in inspiring human potential, because that's one of those amazing things we can do and the online world has brought us to be able and do, connect, support, and together we will achieve that harmony worldwide. So if you wish to contribute because the inner growth process mindset has contributed to your life, or because you believe in inspiring the world through these different means, please do so. Thank you so much for doing so. And as always, you can reach out if you want to collaborate, if you want to share your story, if you have a personal development process mindset, something that can contribute to others in their unlocking of their untapped and limited potential, reach out to me. The blog luna12780.com has my email in the about section. And let's move on to today's topic. As those of you who tune in know, and for the people who know me personally, I've spent a lifetime and will continue doing so to assist humanity in tapping into seeing, living, being their infinite potential from the heart, from within, as a human. Ever since I was little, I knew I wanted to help humanity. I didn't know how, and slowly I did get to there with what today is the inner growth mindset and journey, the inspiring human potential blog, the podcast, and every piece of content that I create and contribute and will continue to share with everyone on this way that I have found through research, personal experience, and continued findings. It's a way of life, a mindset, journey. It's this life is what I call it, and accessing your heart and mind, accessing those human elements, that information, basic information on existence and your psyche, the psychological aspect of the consciousness, subconsciousness, and consciousness, society with sociology and those stigmas and that culture, and the basic, again, understanding of this external world, and then that there's an internal world, which I say leading with heart, but it's that self, it's that essence of you, it's the life of you, and the truth is it's always trying to come forth. And when I started the book, it began with the human elements, which I knew would be able and assist people in understanding the conflict and managing it and moving forward by using that human brain, right? That not only the heart is what guides you. If you feel happy and you feel okay, that means you're going in tune with you. But the truth was, I realized and knew, you know, you need to be able and make sense of it, because even for me, I started working with my conflicts with that rational brain, or the brain that, okay, why is this happening? My always whys, which have always led me to understand more and more of the intuition of my 8-year-old girl when I was saying I'm going to help humanity, and knowing that it was really with the heart that I wanted to help with this unfolding of what they hold within, what we all hold within, and can bring forward if we are able to find that harmony within us and the external world. But there's a journey and a way, and that way is understanding what you're working with, and that within you there's a disconnect, and finding a way to share love with yourself and acceptance of that world. And when I got older and started exploring the evil, quote unquote, which also never sit well with me, I always kept finding more and more answers to that foundation, to that why, the psychological aspects, the subconscious and conscious. And those to me were satisfactory. They literally answer every reason why people do certain things. And it goes back to that unconditional love for self, this inner world that we're not brought by the external to look at, explore, and bring forward, because everyone is acting, if you will, from external inputs. Parents that are raising children have to raise them to fit and work within society. That's normal. So the only person that can do the inner journey is the individual themselves. And when you find, though, that the external world isn't assisting necessarily in connecting the dots in such a way, you find yourself missing out on certain pieces. Hopefully, the Inspiring Human Potential mission, with everything between the course that will come out, the book, and more, there's planning for more, because as I see finally the complete circle of what I am sharing, I can create more specialized books and courses as well. Today, I chose to move away a minute from the heart and focus on the brain, because finally, I am having an added piece of information that not only connects what I've always felt. Once again, there really isn't evil in the sense of evil. There is a human that is made up of a number of layers, and that physiologically speaking, also there is a huge role that, of course, if we're not in that field, why would we know? We wouldn't know. I'm simply curious, and have always said, I know there's a reason why I'm going to find it, but the day-to-day person doesn't necessarily go and think of the human brain as holding the key, quote unquote, to why one does what they do. Not to mention that there are things that have been normalized by our society, not for evil, but because there's, again, input of living with this external. So there's only so many things that one will pay attention to instead of taking it for granted, the taking for granted aspect. But the brain does keep count. Those who tune in know I recently have shared of this book where the psychiatrist talks about trauma, how it affects the brain and body, how it holds count. And you know, they say ever since we're born, we begin having, so to speak, traumatic events, and not in the sense of extreme traumatic, but in the sense that our conscious mind is not conscious or understanding of why something is. That's a trauma. And one of the article actually, I think the one that I read where it mentioned, you know, when you are first negated food, this is where that first impact of why, without, because you don't understand why, when you're hungry, maybe in that specific moment you're not going to get food, and you're going to, within you, without consciousness, make sense of it. And the interesting part is that this book shares how, you know, it's physiologically accurate. So the thing that psychologists talk about, it's not only conscious, subconscious, and conscious. We're talking literally the physical makeup and that there are things that take place that then remain stored and that then are what bring forth certain behaviors, certain things, and the child, of course, is not conscious of that. So even if you tap into the subconscious, unconscious, you need to also connect the physiological aspect and then accompany a journey that will assist someone to break free, if you will, to rework those neuro synapses that fire. I'm going to read a part of that actually for you, but that would be where we are used to doing something a certain way, and the only way you can recreate and change that pattern of behavior, if you will, for yourself, is to actually raise your consciousness to it, become aware of it somehow, making it tangible, and then you bringing yourself to say, okay, I'm gonna try doing something different the next time. I'm gonna try not only doing but feeling. They go together. It's not one thing only. It's never one thing only. This is why anything that is done, if it's done holistically, whether we want to talk about the a journey of inner growth from within for a person to find complete unconditional love, meaning for self and for the external, because that's how you bring wholeness. You keep separateness, you keep duality. That's where you stand. That's where there's boxes and there's defined lines and there's then a wall at a certain point that you do not go beyond. Had I stopped at every person that told me you are utopistic, you are naive, you are too gullible, good, everything and anything, I would not be here sharing with you all, those of you who are in this place of knowing from the heart that there is more to you, of knowing from the heart that there is unconditional love in life, and that anything that is not so, there is something behind it, and it can be transformed to growth, to learning, to openness, to more. We are the ones who know there's always more. There's infinite potential for our species, for our world, for life. Life wants life. That's biology too. So with great pleasure and joy and even at the same time, like, I knew already that sooner or later there would be catching up by this physiological scientific community of things that people in the conscious living space, in the psychological space, in the humanistic space, philosophy space would catch up and finally share something all-inclusive that would be a way to inform people that are interested. Hey, look at what trauma can do. Look at how in-depth this brain processes and stores things, and guess what, maybe, just maybe, if we learn to stop labeling people a certain way and go and search, you know, their background, their whatever, or simply remove judgment and acknowledge that there may be an issue with feelings and the person being able to relate to them or feel them or not feel them, and stand back and share love, maybe we'll be able to help that person find their sense of security, which obviously they don't have, and which we do not know why they don't have it. Because from the moment we're born, that brain begins incorporating and reacting to what it's experiencing. And that means that even getting yelled at, even if it wasn't meant to be, of course, you know, hurtful, because those are the things that are normalized. I mean, I've heard of children being left to sleep. They've been left in their crib for an entire night, crying all night on their own, because that parent chose to train that child in that way. And there's documentary after documentary after documentary that talks about what this can create. And this book is the last of the many. Well, it won't be the last. It's another of the many that I'm sure share it. However, there are still different ways of viewing things, right? So there are actually opposite guidance from experts in their field that say, no, that's how you're going to train your baby to sleep. It won't be, and it's not detrimental to their health. That's why I was saying it's not about extreme trauma. It's actually about people normalizing things, thinking that it's not going to make a big deal because they're healthy, well, actually, you know what? That all that night of crying creates a way that the brain stores something and will elaborate on things and will react with fight or flight or fear, helplessness or loneliness. And in fact, in the book, there is a part that actually talks about this aspect of abandonment. Let's see, where is it? Hold on, I will search for it for a second. We'll start with this part. So he's talking about the reptilian brain, which is the part that helps us with breathing, eating, sleeping, pooping, and peeing. And they are fundamental. Their significance is easily neglected when we're considering the complexities of mind and behavior. However, if you sleep is disturbed, or your bowels don't work, or if being touched makes you want to scream, the entire organism is thrown into disequilibrium. Okay, so this part is still important. If we don't sleep well, if we don't go to the bathroom well, these things affect our entire inner system. They're not, no big deal, so to speak. The other part he then goes on to talk about is the limbic system, which is shaped in response to experience in partnership with the infant's own genetic makeup and inborn temperament. Now, these two aspects, I'm sure he will go in the future or later on in the book to explore, or I will on my own, because obviously with the infant's own genetic makeup and inborn temperament, this is the part that we've talked about before. Every child is interestingly different than the other. And that's that perception part, or that consciousness that with each child, in some way, it's going to organize it in whatever happens to us as that age, we organize. And I'm sure the genetic makeup and inborn temperament has a whole other in-depth journey of research that would be done, and that maybe is also shared by different people who have done such explorations. He continues to say for the book and the limbic system, whatever happens to baby contributes to the emotional and perceptual map of the world that its developing brain creates. And then there's a continuance on how the brain is formed in a use-dependent manner, and that this is another way of describing neuroplasticity, which is the relatively recent discovery that neurons that fire together wire together. So when circuits fires repeatedly, it can become a default setting. And he gives the example. If you feel safe and loved, your brain becomes specialized in exploration, play, and cooperation. If you're frightened and unwanted, it specializes in managing feelings of fear and abandonment. So as infants and toddlers, we learn about the world by moving, grabbing, and crawling, and by discovering what happens when we cry, smile, or protest. We are constantly experimenting with our surroundings. How do our interactions change the way our body feels? All the early experiments or explorations as children is what helps the limbic structure shapes the limbic structure, which is devoted to emotions and memory. And then our later on experiences also continue to form it. Now, the reptilian brain and the limbic system, or what he says, make up the emotional brain. And this is that brain that is at the heart of the central nervous system, and its key task is to look out for our welfare, meaning it tells us if there's danger or opportunity, and it's that visceral sensation. We don't consciously think about it. It's something that is beneath the surface, so to speak. Okay, you're not aware of what's going on, it just reacts. And he even goes on to continue sharing this idea, but I don't want to bore you to death, so I'm gonna find the last piece that I wanted to share, and then we'll keep moving forward with the conversation. The emotional brain results in the is already what's the word there before those 2 years of age, okay? And it is what jumps to conclusions based on rough similarities, in contrast to what he calls the rational brain, or with the rational brain, which is organized to sort through a complex set of options. Now, the rational brain is the neocortex part. And in fact, before we move to that, last quote on the emotional brain, just so you get a good idea, the emotional brain initiates programmed escape plans like the fight or flight responses. These muscular and physiological reactions are automatic, set in motion without any thought or planning on our part, leaving our conscious rational capacities to catch up later, often well after the threat is over. Then you reach the top layer of the brain, which is this neocortex. And in the second year of life, the frontal lobes, which make up the bulk of our neocortex, begin to develop at a rapid pace. He contributes to share with us that the ancient philosopher called 7 years the age of reason. For us, first grade is the prelude of things to come, a life organized around frontal lobe capacities, sitting still. Staying still and not acting out, understanding abstract and symbolic ideas, okay? The frontal lobes are responsible for the qualities that make us unique with the animal kingdom. It is what enables us to use language and abstract thought. And this is where he continues to share how it helps us to plan and reflect, imagine, and play out scenarios. Now, the other very important part is how he goes on to share with us interpersonal neurobiology. So, crucial understanding. The frontal lobes are also the seat of empathy, our ability to feel into someone else. And he goes on to share about the discovery of mirror neurons and how they explain empathy, imitation, synchronicity, and that when people are in sync with each other, we tend to stand or sit in similar ways. The same way, if someone's upset, you also can feel that upsetness. Right? People who even talk about energy, they say, if the room's full of negativity, I feel negativity. So working on these aspects with ourselves is also something we look at, naturally speaking, but there is that physiological connection. So I shared a little bit with you, but I don't want to bore anyone, because what I know is that if you can simplify something, it helps people to know that it is that part of our natural makeup, if you will. The only reason as individuals we're not in the know of these aspects is because when we are interacting with each other, we take it for granted because it's normal. Once again, you're born there in this world already with an external world that you interact with. The physiological aspect of our bodies being machines, in the sense of it's like a car, it's like anything. You need to feed it, you need to sleep, you want to take care of it. But there is then the way the brain communicates with us, and the chemicals it releases, and there's some information, so to speak, that is shared, but really it isn't. When we see a commercial for antidepressants, for example, which in this book he talks about how the pharmaceutical companies began the research to assist in helping for trauma, and then though they simply took off to developing medicine to help the chemical imbalance and claim or use the word disease for many traumatic situations that they were already looking into. And instead of also accompanying the medicine with what can we do holistically, how can we help the patient with the body, with understanding what's at the foundation of this chemical imbalance that is created because of the fight response. So see, the emotional brain is very important, because that is the part that we don't, and he's finally talking about it. I'm not sure how many other psychiatrists talk about it, but I will update you when I'm done with the book. He's talking about how the body keeps count, and therefore what can be done, what can be done to help the person to connect with the emotional part that is not in consciousness. It's not about remembering the trauma, because that triggers the feelings and then the chemical imbalances that, yes, the medicine can help, but the truth is the medicine is like a patch job. You keep taking it, makes you feel better, makes you function, and this is where it is an inner growth, personal journey to choose to access the infinite potential of you, to choose to access the heart of you, to choose to access this invisible world is every person's individual choice, the same way it is every time someone will deem humanity or a person evil, quote unquote, versus acknowledging information eventually that is brought forth by our community that doesn't have everything present but does start bringing the pieces together. This is why I was very excited when I got this, and this is why I do want to dedicate more episodes to the focus as I gain information, but in a way that, again, it's not about transforming by force, okay, or sharing something and saying there's one way. There's, as you guys know, I share information that can help to give an understanding for the individual, but it is also for my hope to assist humanity as a species, as a society, because my journey even to help humanity began with that idea of the external. I wanted to work in politics. I wanted to do something where the system would assist all of us. And then I was led to instead focus on the individual from within, which is a great and more, it's going to be for sure more lasting, because at the end of the day, the system is made by individuals, and every individual that I know has done something where they do something that shouldn't. At the foundation within that individual, there are a number of things that have not been searched for or understood or, you know, even noticed by the person, because their behavior has been normalized, if you will. It's taken for granted. The self, it's not easy to go within and actually acknowledge it and allow it to lead that heart. So ultimately, there's a lot of people that don't have complete unconditional love for self. They have gone through certain things that this book that I'm reading acknowledges, physiologically speaking, the flight or fight response that gets basically wired within us and will bring forth certain things that may, some are minor, some are major. We only know about the major ones, and that's the criminal that gets put behind bars, that gets judged by society, and that is not, will never know necessarily their story, because they don't even remember from 0 to 2 years old what happened. And so I was giving that example of the children that are left to cry throughout the night because they're being trained to sleep. Well, that's okay. They physiologically, on the external seems, there's no issue. But their inner brain has wired and will have something stored in there. And maybe, you know, a silly reaction of upsetness for something is because of that. Nothing major. But then again, there are those who continue growing up in an environment without unconditional love, without a safe feeling, and they then develop ways to protect themselves and cope with flight or fight, this hopelessness that they are not aware of because they can't remember, they don't know. And because the truth is, nobody tried, you know, by trying to get your baby to go to sleep, it's not a crime, you know what I mean? And that's, to me, again, normal. There's no judgment here. I understand why there's that normalization of things, but this is where it's not about judging anything or anyone, because there isn't that perfect system, right? We talk about, it's not about perfection, it's about the gray area, it's about the neutrality and duality, it's about the understanding of a complex, in-depth and human. And we have the physiology, there's places that are yet to be uncovered of how that works. There's plenty of documentaries, once again, that share also, you know, falling off a bike but not getting hurt can cause a trauma to the brain that then causes the brain not to function in a certain way, which then causes behavior of extreme aggressiveness. And trauma isn't only about the extreme trauma. It's also about when you're little, crying a little bit too much is going to create potentially a way that you're going to defend yourself. Being able to talk about information without saying it's one, it's okay, so now, for example, I read this book, so that's the only thing. No, I know there's going to be more information. I know there's going to be people that will say, no, this isn't the case, that this is one study, this is not. There's all information that contributes to the whole. This is where we are the ones who either close off and say there's only one way, or recognize by staying open that there's a lot more. There's an infinite amount of information. There's an infinite amount of transformation. And the human is not only brain or heart, it's both. Then there's the external world, which interacts. And in the meantime, there's this brain that is incorporating, and already based on its first years of experience, and who knows, maybe even when in the womb, it is already, the brain's already making sense. Now, whatever people want to go and look at that one part where it was every child, the genetic makeup and inborn temper, that aspect is something that one can probably keep on elaborating. But when it comes down to claiming that individuals are a species, humanity, for those who say humans are evil, humans are this, there is no, there's a lot more behind that. And being in flight or fight mode is that, which again, ever since I was little, to me made sense with the whole knowledge of the self, the heart, not being brought forth, consciously speaking, from the person because they're living with the external. So for me, it began with that psychological aspect, the human inner conflict from that subconscious, unconscious consciousness, what is in our awareness, the traumas as experienced, then that existentialist with, okay, there's that invisible, that life purpose, humanity, these aspects that we do elaborate on, and society that gives us that initial imprint. Our family tells us who we are, our first filter to who we are and what society is comes from that. Now I've got a fourth component. I got the brain with the physiological explanation of it's storing things in the emotional part, that flight fight response, and every person also having a part that they will make sense of it in their own way. And there will be things, though, that will make that self feel unloved. And so it always all goes together. It feels unloved if you don't feel safe. I mean, a moment where you can't get food is a moment where you feel unsafe, where you feel threatened, so to speak. And maybe not in those words, because again, we're not using words, are we? We are in complete neutrality when we're learning about the world, which is why the way we first begin our inner conversations is going to be with the external. And which is why with inner growth, this mindset and journey, it's very clear the external and the conflict that it, so to speak, brings forth is the opportunity for inner growth. Because you begin exploring with the limited, so to speak, with that initial perception, perspective, conceptualizing, it all comes from outside of you. It comes from your parents, your siblings, your peers, your culture, your country, your everything. It isn't a one-way street. It's a one-way street if you stay in that place of consciousness with those things you know. Once you go within, once you have a basic foundation of here, this brain that you have, believe it or not, it stores a lot of things that it's not even about the subconscious or unconscious. There's also the physical part that has taken on things to protect you and to help you know. I mean, recently I was talking to a friend about her, about the book, and she was like, I wonder if this is why I always tend to want to escape, to flee. Because as a child, she was sick a lot, and in a house where there was love, but it was very formal, and still today, very private, very formal, very not too much hugging or very warm, so to speak. And to our society, that's right, normal in the sense there's some families that are extremely loving and hugging, and others that are more reserved and more private. And there shouldn't be a judgment or good or bad. That's where people start to get lost. It shouldn't be you. We're not here to tell people how to be in their families. We're here to share with each other things that can help each other understand, that can help us be in a place of neutrality for the in-depth, complex makeup of every single one of us. For me, it's never, I'm always sharing added information. It's never meant to be there's one right way or one wrong way. No, I'm sharing with you the multifaceted, multi-layered, multi-complex, in-depth, infinite makeup of what it means to be human, of what it means to live life, of what it means if you want to pursue inner growth and raise your consciousness to your heart, live by heart. Yes, improve your quality of life, but the truth is contribute to our society as well to be more understanding and forgiving because of that understanding, because of all these things that are. There is a self. There is an essence to you. It's your heart. It's your whatever. And it's been there ever since you were born. You either lead by it or you're not. And some are not. The average is not. They are leading from the external because that is what they learn. That's what teaches them how to express the self. It's only when they start saying, okay, hold on, there's a conflict here that I'm facing. Why am I facing it? And this is where someone, if you do acknowledge that self, that essence, because it's loud, you understand that your inner compass is saying something to you and you listen to it. Many people, though, they want that approval. They're used to needing that approval, and therefore they continue to do things based on the external's advice, and they don't begin an inner growth journey. They just do as they are told, and which place resonates mostly with. They find themselves at a certain age and they don't know, you know, what's what, so to speak, or they start questioning everything. Now, the part about fleeing, okay, linked to something that the brain has most likely incorporated in that physiological aspect that I'm sharing with you today. The person is doing the inner work, and now they have an extra piece of information that can help them to say, maybe this way of feeling, this wanting to flee, is linked to that flight or fight response. It doesn't mean they have to go to therapy. It doesn't mean that, some people do, and that's great if you find it helpful. A lot of people that I asked during the beginning of the Inner Growth Mindset book, I have a questionnaire. There were 200 people that participated, and one of the questions was about going to a psychologist, psychiatrist, and a good portion did not find it helpful. And this is where I link back to this book about the brain. He says, remembering and reliving traumatic experiences, for as minor, even if it's just, again, a simple observing two people beat each other up, that is still traumatic. It's not necessarily excessive in what it leaves, but it still causes something to be stored in that flight-fight response, in that emotional brain that is what organizes you to be able and react quickly, and that your conscious brain only later can, if it wants to, if the trauma isn't that extreme, will try and work through and then create, the sense of comfort again. But that acknowledging that the wanting to flee probably comes from being in a place of not warmth and feeling ignored and or not seen, and so wanting to just go somewhere, that can help someone. The part that I was saying was many did not find a solution or helpful being brought to counseling. Others did. It's subjective. It's not one way. It's about, again, using information to assist you, trusting your heart to guide you, knowing that your brain is involved, and there are aspects that we are not aware of until they're introduced to us. This is why I come every day and share at least, half an hour, whatever it is, with you guys about anything that I find along the way, because even though the Inner Growth program, once it's out, will be that step-by-step daily practice. I've made it very simple. I don't talk about psychology. I don't talk about any of this. There's a whole lot of information that is really helpful to anyone who's in this place where they are trying to be the best they feel they can be for themselves and humanity. And it is also a way to contribute this information that I know not everybody wants to read because it's boring to them. It's not, that area of interest, but there is this aspect. There are many aspects to us, and this is also to contribute a tidbit of something to someone who's listening, who can then share this information to more people. And in this way, not only do we start really understanding the complexity of what it means to try and learn about unconditional love for self, but also for the external, stopping to point this finger and judge people, judge the human race, judge the world, and realize that, we're animals like every other animal. The thing is, we have a brain, and there's more that seems to go on when we're, as we grew this brain, as this brain started thinking more, until we were with the animal kingdom only in that place of fending for food and procreated, we did. We respected that cycle up. At a certain point, our brains started creating more, or whatever. That's, again, that's what differentiates human species from the animal species, right? Our brain started and wanted, and it created the first tools, the first drawing, whatever, and we moved on. We move forward. Some will say, it's not moving forward. In fact, psychologist, one of the many, talks about that for sociopaths and sociopaths for sure, or it was serial killers, I believe. They talk about that aspect, that type of individual has not been able to find their place within society. Their self is literally feels like it's dying, or it's not there. It feels not being able to connect with, be a part of its society. It simply wants to return to that state of animal, that place of, because that's where you feel your, every animal has its place, so to speak. It's very simple, right? And so the only way they seem to be able and find their self in this place, but it's really because they just can't handle, so to speak, they don't know where they fit, is they kill the blood. This psychologist was saying how the blood connects them to the earth again and makes them somehow subconsciously, unconsciously feel for at least that one moment that they have their place. And in fact, continues to say, though, this type of pathology, eventually the person will either find someone, a lover, that makes them feel a part of, and then they find their place and they stop killing, or they kill themselves eventually. So this was for that sociopath, and the explanation of what goes on in that self and that not having a place, and the pain that goes behind it, and the reason why the blood is what takes place, so the killing. Now, again, for me, this new aspect of the brain, what I wonder is, what did that sociopath, for example, go through from the ages of 0 to 2, or even further, that I don't know about, and that nobody knows about, and that maybe even if somebody says, oh no, I've been around, well, one, you're never around a family 24/7 unless you're part of that family, like the mother, father, or parents and the siblings. And even then, siblings will have different perceptions and way of incorporating things. So the point is, we don't know what exactly went on during those formative years, typically. And so something like the crying thing that I told you about, there's a very important documentary that I did watch that I've shared with you guys more than once, because I'll never forget it. And it was about babies crying and being left to cry. It was talking about, particularly for children that get neglected by parents who are on drugs. But the documentary was showing how this mother was playing with a child, and she turned around, and the baby at first started laughing or trying to grab the mom's attention. The mom doesn't turn around. The baby starts fussing and making a bit of a big deal. Still doesn't turn around. At a certain point, the baby starts crying, and in the documentary, they have the mother turn around. But the documentary continued to say, when this is done, hours on end, the child will develop a disconnect with feeling. Like, this is how they stop. They have to defend themselves. They stop crying. At a certain point, they no longer cry. But within themselves, they've developed some form of disconnect with feelings in and of itself. And this is where this new information, at least new for me, since I hadn't been able to get access of something so comprehensive all in one, shares that this baby, probably the disconnect comes from the brain organizing and storing the emotional brain, the flight fight response, and then we'll wait to see how that develops in that individual child. So the truth of the matter when it comes to humanity is that there's a lot that is a part of us, and where there is love, there is hope, because that unconditional love that you can share with yourself and others is that sense of security that the self wants, the self, that essence of us, wants to feel that it belongs, it's a part of, it needs to find its place. You can help it find its place by acknowledging it, the heart and mind having a conversation and knowing that yes, there's an external, but transforming how you see it. You want to stay in conflict, you stay in conflict, but you have an alternative. You can pursue growing from it. You can make something out of it. Now, the part of the physiological aspect, average quote unquote, I will say average trauma, we've all probably had something quote unquote again traumatic, yes, and therefore it goes to that again self-love, that unconditional sense of security that if you're able to give to yourself, acknowledge the unknowns, acknowledge that there are times where you may have had to create an understanding of something that wasn't, and for those who have been through something more profound, means you are thinking of those situations, and in that case I say you know what's best for you, how you can help to get to a place of unconditional love for self. This is where there is professional help, but you need to be also the one to follow your heart. You need to feel what feels flowing, and there has to be self unconditional love. The raising of consciousness is what helps you elaborate with your brain. And the other part that actually is very important to share of this book was it talked about in the first chapters how the brain, what happens when you go through traumatic experience. And the brain, basically the left side of the brain, which is what is allows you to analyze and think through and understand, the left side of the brain is completely shut off. And therefore, the only thing that is stored is the emotional part, but there's not a way of you like being able to move forward, which is why people who go through traumatic experiences relive the same thing over and over again. And they're not moving forward. They're in that flight, fight, response, helplessness mode. Their left brain is completely shut off. And the only thing they feel is the emotional part, which is in flight, fight mode. In fact, then there's another part of the brain that also turns off, and it's the speech, the communication part. So frozen to death, I think, is what he names the one of the parts where he's explaining this. Therefore, not only when you live a traumatic experience you're not able to communicate the feelings, you're feeling the feelings, and then your left side for you personally is not allowing you to elaborate and move forward, go beyond that emotional storage of sorts, which is why, once again, if you raise your consciousness to the power you hold within mind and heart, emotions and thoughts, only you can know that this is possible. Only you can, in a moment of fear, in a moment of anger, in a moment of fright, in a moment of, be able to raise your thoughts to your thoughts and your emotions, and one, you bring yourself to a place of unconditional love. That's the one thing I say. A safe place that feels like, when, at least for me, it's like when you think of a mother holding their baby, that feeling. I mean, and I've done it. I've had panic attacks. I told you guys this a couple episodes ago. I would use that. I would seek comfort. I would work with my thoughts, and I would try and go beyond where my focus wanted to go, which was in that panic place. So I'm here to share as much as I can, which is why I've been sharing a little bit more of personal things as well, to know that you can raise your consciousness to this brain and the thoughts, the mind, the heart, the self, the essence of you. And for me, it's not one word, it's not two words, it's not one way. The point is, you have a lot of things that make up what it is to be human, and there's the unknown, which life is. And I know everybody has their own belief system and their own way. That's not what I'm here to, you know, I'm not here to question anything except for sharing. I'm only here to share what you can do to tap into the infinite of you, and the heart of you is that infinite you. And I can tell you that it's possible, because I've done it. I'm normal. I'm only human, and I've seen other people do it, and they're only human. The only difference is they never stopped believing in themselves. They worked with themselves. And this is why I also say you want to tune into your heart and what's working. Some people, they know they need that extra support, and they do it. I've found that the individual, psychologically speaking, will raise their consciousness as far as they're able to move beyond their comfort zone. That's why the neutrality is where you completely liberate, so to speak, yourself from any place of staying stuck, and you remove the inner wounds that we talk about, the child inner wounds. So deep wounds, even the ones where it's not like you have to remember or conceptualize it necessarily. It's about acknowledging, I want from the external what myself really just, I can give it. I accept who I am. I love who I am. I love the external. I leave it alone. I keep working at me and doing what my heart feels its purpose is. Now, heart helps, because not only is it there as you, this essence, consciousness, this place, these feelings and thoughts combined, once you access that brain, that thought, all aspects, you're able to finally start working with everything, because you're not ignoring the feelings, you're not ignoring the thoughts, you're not ignoring the human elements, you're not ignoring the essence elements, the unknown elements of life, the societal culture, everything's there. Okay, and you take the conflict and you say, okay, let me re-elaborate. You start with management, because at the beginning of the journey, your heart, you haven't led by it yet. Once you start, that's why you get to the intermediate level with duality, where there's judgment of self. Because once you take that power and say, I know that I'm the one who leads the way, you're going to be leading the way. But if you stay in duality, instead of going to that neutrality, you're judging you and others. There's not unconditional love. Then there's still a sense of need of defending from something outside of you. It's a matter of complete openness to life, to that unknown, embracing that gray area, if you will, that is really everything. And the reason why that helps is it allows you to go in that place of flexibility, which even in this book, I haven't finished it yet, but it talks about being flexible with the brain. And I will let you guys know once I get into that part, but that's that other place, inner growth, this mindset and journey. I get people to use that mind and heart together in your way, and simply share all the bits of information that throughout the years have always and keep again leading me to knowing that my intuition on the heart of man, humanity, and on the infinite potential of humanity, and how love helps it all, starting with your own heart, is the truth. It's, you all are amazing humans. You're all amazing beings. And anything that's keeping you back is an experience that something happened. There's hurt, there's fear, there's something that your mind wants to understand, and your heart also. And it wants not only maybe something from you, or maybe something from someone else, but the truth is only you can be the one to give it to you and be able to give that comfort and say, everything's gonna be okay. I can get over this specific person leaving me. I can understand this person behaving that way. Depends what your interests are, because that's that other part. People only seek solutions to what creates that emotional conflict, to what creates that turmoil. And it is also the area, though, where if you stay in duality, you aren't going to go beyond. You're going to stay stuck. As long as you think there is a problem with that conflict, you stay in that problem. And this is where there's that self-judgment, because yeah, you're basically defining this situation as a problem that you can't overcome, so to speak. There's many ways I can formulate the idea of one being stuck in a state of consciousness, so to speak, in a certain conflict. And that's why I simply share information. Because psychologically speaking, every person will tune into an episode that is too hard to them. Those of you who are tuning into this one today have, in the interest of you, the brain and the way it works, maybe. And anyways, there's something about the brain that you are being curious about. And I hope that it's helped to share with you some very insightful things that will allow you to move forward in this amazing, amazing journey called life, where every human, we do the best we can, and that hopefully choosing heart, unconditional love for self and external, going within when you have a conflict and growing from it, allowing yourself to go beyond, embrace neutrality. When there's resistance, just know that yourself, that inner self, that essence of you, is looking for more unconditional love, which also means trying to share it with the external, because what you're going to elaborate on is understanding that the hurt you have from whatever it is you wanted doesn't have to be, because you are the master of your life from within you. It's what you focus on, it's what you think, it's what you feel. And as I was sharing, I know people in the years, one, they've thought that I'm just this naive person that believes in unconditional love. And that's true. Jesus has been with me. God is with me, in the sense I'm a spiritual person. And that is where I always turn to when quote unquote evil came. But it never sit well with me, that word either, because I said unconditional love means there's something that can be done. Not to mention the empath in me, feeling the pain of the human heart and the individual that not expressing the essence of all that one is in their in each individual uniqueness. So yeah, that got me to turn the other cheek, but it also got me to know there's something. And then the human part of me knowing, okay, let's take a look at that mind, let's take a look at life, let's take and beginning to look at it from those human elements, the society, and finding everything that I had intuitively known kind of thing, but become revealed. The duality, the neutrality, these aspects, until arriving at the physiological component as well, that's like, ah, see, okay, so yeah, the self feels threatened, the brain also, and actually it goes even further than what we can recollect as individuals. So consciously speaking, again, silly, quote-unquote silly, assisting at a bar fight can, for a child, and I've shared one experience of someone I know who actually could not eat fish or drink beer, because as a child, and they had totally forgotten about this episode because I think they were three, they had seen a bar fight and someone stabbing someone, and they saw blood. After they were able to recollect this through a psychological session, they were now slowly being able to reintroduce these foods. This is me sharing information to assist the individual, but say one, you don't need, all you need is to know that your mind and your heart are with you. You feel your feelings, you feel and know your thoughts, and you are the one that steers them all the time. Every time, if you're repeating one thought, you're repeating it. You're the one who can go in and work with it. It's also about not lying to oneself, and it is about accepting the external. That's the part. If you keep on being in duality, meaning, okay, there's me, there's the external, I want it to be one way or the other, that's where you just stay stuck. You're not allowing yourself to breathe, like, okay, there's other options, to let go of what you're resisting, to understand that you are the one who's in the lead of how you feel about the reality, and then choosing what you want to represent as a human. What do you want to believe? It's about faith in life and faith in you, at least that, because not everybody has faith in the sense of something bigger, and there isn't a need of that. In fact, there's a need for people to have faith in themselves from the heart, because life matters, because they know that they, from mind and heart, are the ones who choose that reality. The ones who stay in conflict are suffering because they want something from the outside world that they're not being given, and they're pointing the finger, and that exists. For some people, that exists. I simply say that means they stay in that place of conflict. That's their choice, consciously speaking. As a human, they choose that reality. They choose to elaborate on what they see, on what they feel, on what they, if they think it through, they choose that. And that doesn't bring any change to the world, doesn't transform our society into more love, or pursue life, or pursue, it says this is where we're at and this is what it always will be. And ultimately, because they don't move forward, the beauty of it is that as a species, as every species, life wants life, and consciousness, the self, inner harmony, inner growth, acknowledging the physiological aspects, the psychological aspects, the sociological aspects, and finally also reintegrating the philosophical aspects, are all a part of what it is to be human. And there is a growing body of us in that space, including, thankfully, now or finally, our physiological scientific community, which many people need in order for them to believe in certain things that those of us who are intuitive, empathic, highly sensitive, social sciences, even, you know, like those of us who are in the space of saying there's more behind every, finally we have that tangible part that some people need before they can incorporate and see finally what is that truth, that in-depth nature of a species that also has a mind, and that is more than just the brain. But now, even if we just want to talk about the brain, well, there you have it. The brain keeps count of every experience, and it then formulates it in a way that brings your physiology to be potentially in flight or fight response mode, which then can go ahead and explain to those people who label so many other people quote unquote evil, hey, here you go, I'm very happy for this information. It won't be the last, probably, of information. There will be much, much more for us as a society, and I look forward to it, because that other part of me knows that it is going to be even more explaining, and therefore help us become more understanding. even if it only becomes a topic around the physiological aspect, although once again there's more than just physiology, there is that essence. However, I'm also confident that the scientific part will be able to, or would be able to in time, explain every single aspect. That's how, quote unquote, confident, if you will, I am in this intuition that I can't always share with you guys in every word and every way possible, right? Because there's just so much. That infinite potential that I share with you is like every cell of our body. So I know that it will come through the scientific community too. Simply, it needs its time to develop more technology, more understanding. The same thing that has been happening ever since the evolution of humankind. We see it in our history books, in our biology books, in every book. We see the added information that we gain on us and on life in the world. And it is always life wanting life, and there's always some answer to something, and it's never about evil or good. It's about life and the being, and there's an explanation. And the beauty of explanations is that knowledge is power, understanding a dynamic so in depth and so much, where we are always involved and as a thinking species, is just brings joy to my heart to share this episode with you. And I look forward to any questions, any tidbits. If you want to know the name of the book, just let me know, write me an email. I've said it numerous times, but right now I don't have it at hand. So write me an email. You find it in the blog about section, luna12780.com. And until then, I send you lots of love and hugs and smiles. Have a wonderful day.